Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ah, Ben Crenshaw. My goodness, what a day. You know, I have Alan Shipnuck standing by, author, writer, and he also reads, so you can get the audio version of his book. And it's a fabulous book. But then, you know, in the middle of my looking forward to talking to Alan Shipnuck, which we will in just a couple of minutes, about his book and about Rory McIlroy and all the stuff that he's writing in the book, Tiger Woods pulls one on us, right? But before we get to Tiger Woods and Alan Shipnuck and, of course, Rory McIlroy, I just want to go into some tee times that you might be interested in. Volcano Golf Club has an 832 and a 1048. And the Slicers, watch out now, they're at Macaulay. There's an 852, a 1010, and an 11 o'clock. The Lost Boys are back at Poipu. There's an 830, a 1010, 11 o'clock, 1220. If you want to get one of those tee times, give them a call. They sell out pretty quickly. Kauai Lagoons, 9 o'clock and 10:30, Doctors on Call. They're on the course today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Perla Kalauau, there's an 836, 1108. Hawaii Kai, 830, 930. Turtle Bay has an 840, a 908, or a 1020. And watch out for the beachcombers. They're on the course. Rahawine Country Club has an 842, a 920, 1036. The Duck Hooks. These people are dangerous. The Duck Hooks, may you all hit the sweet spot every time, and I'm sure you're not dangerous, right? Hawakalei Country Club has a 910, 1026, 1148. At Eva Beach Golf Course, there's an 836, a 940, an 1106. And the Shrimpers are getting out on the golf course. No, the shrimp is over there, not on the course. Bayview, 920, 1018. Wailea Gold, 840, 920. Emerald, 830, 850. And the Blue Course has an 840 and a 920. Or Maui Nui, lovely golf course, 856, 948, and an 1110. All right, let's bring him in to the studio here. Alan Shipnuck, author, writer, you've got 5 books. Your most recent coming out is Rory McIlroy, The Heartache and Triumph of Golf's Most Human Superstar. Welcome into the clubhouse.
I'm delighted to be back, and I'm thinking about which one of those tee times I want to snag. It sounds quite delightful way to spend a Saturday morning.
Doesn't it? I know. It's cold. You know, it's like 68 degrees, but it's probably colder because the wind is coming out of the north. So I got 3 layers on, okay?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Well, I'm in Carmel, California, where I live. So I'm not a snowbird. We have a nice winter for playing golf as well. But
yeah,
something about the Hawaiian breeze is a little different.
It is. You got to get used to it when you're playing. Oh gosh, let's get into Tiger Woods. What do you say?
I guess we have to.
Yeah, we do. This is what, his 4th accident. The difference in this one is no one was hurt. What do you think?
Well, it's just kind of melancholy, you know, that Tiger, so many people are cheering for him. So many people have tried to help him, and he's still on this very self-destructive path. You know, this has nothing to do with golf. I mean, Tiger has not really been a factor on the course since his last accident in 2021 and he pulverized his leg. So whether or not he plays in the Masters or plays in the Senior Open, like, this is all very secondary. I mean, you have to fear for this guy's life at this point, and he's obviously in a pretty dark hole, and you just hope he can get some help. I mean, he's surrounded by enablers and yes men, and even a lot of his good friends, quote unquote, they're on his payroll, you know, they work for him. And so they can't really speak, you know, truth to power. And it's probably going to fall on his kids. You know, Charlie's now a senior in high school. Sam is in college. And maybe they're finally the ones, you know, they're old enough and they have enough of a voice they can get through it to him and just say, Dad, you know, we want you to be here for us. We want you to meet your grandkids. Like, you have to get help. And maybe that's what it's going to take.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hope somebody pushes the buttons in the right way so that he actually can hear it. He doesn't seem to understand that he is actually on a collision course with death. You know, I mean, the way he behaves driving a car at, what was it, 80 miles an hour on a dirt road, it looked like, one lane in each direction, overtaking a truck, hauling something. You just can't, you got to be out of your mind to do something like that. And that's what I find so scary. And as the officer in the interview or conversation with reporters said, you know, if somebody had been coming in the other direction, this would have been disastrous. It would have been a completely different ball game. And if you're you know, just hearing about this, and you probably aren't, but Tiger Woods did take a breathalyzer, and as they said, I find this strange, he blew triple zeros. In other words, there was nothing coming out of his lungs to say that he had been taking something or ingesting something through the lungs. But when they asked him to do urinalysis, he refused. That's why he was arrested, because technically it's not a violation. It's not a crime what he did, just refusing.
No. Just to clarify, I mean, the breathalyzer just looks for alcohol, and drinking has not been Tiger's problem. I mean, it's been prescription painkillers. It's been other pills. And that's not going to show up on a breathalyzer. You know, the officers at the scene thought he was inebriated or somehow diminished chemically. They could tell. And so, you know, he's already been treated once for, you know, for prescription painkillers. He's been trying to get maybe play in the Masters. He's probably been, and, you know, he played in the TGL recently. He's probably been pushing his body a little too hard, hitting too many balls, et cetera. So it... I mean, we're speculating, but based on his history and what you know, the cocktail of pills he had in his blood from the first DUI in 2017, I mean, I think we can safely guess that he had, you know, that's what was involved here, and that's what the officers could tell. Tiger refusing to do any further testing, that elevates it to a DUI based on the officers' suspicions and his refusal to allow confirmation. So, no, he's in trouble with the law again. You'd have to assume this time he'll get his driver's license suspended. But, you know, when you talk about the enablers, it includes law enforcement, because Tiger was never tested for anything when he had his last accident in 2021, which was 4 years after the DUI. You know, the L.A. County Sheriff just kind of swept it under the rug. And so we'll see how the police in Jupiter Island, which is, you know, this enclave of very wealthy businessmen and athletes, and they probably are used to covering things up. So, you know, that's part of the problem here is Tiger basically skated on the last accident, and even the DUI, I think, came off his record because of some, you know, sort of diversion program, et cetera. So, I mean, it's going to... Of course, Tiger has all the money in the world. He could hire a driver 24/7.
Exactly.
Like, obviously. And I think it's going to take his license being, you know, revoked for him to finally make that commitment that he clearly should have done 10 years ago. So, but we'll see what law enforcement does. If they let him keep his license or they suspend it for 6 weeks or something, like, he's probably going to be back behind the wheel because for whatever reason, he's resistant to get a driver. So, you know, this is part of the problem. He's been coddled already by the judicial system.
Yeah, that is the problem. He's been coddled by the judicial system, and they turn, you know, oh, it's Tiger Woods, let's let him go. And on social media, for what it's worth, the most frequent comment was, why doesn't that guy have a driver?
Of course. I mean,
what's he doing behind the wheel?
I think I know part of the answer is, like, I mean, I have friends and contacts in Jupiter, and you know, I think Tiger, he's continued to have a little bit of a secret life. You know, it blew up on him once. I think he doesn't want someone monitoring him in the way that a driver would. Mm. And even if that driver signed an NDA, they would sort of still know what he's up to. And I think that brings a certain amount of shame or whatever. And so I really think that it's part of, you know, Tiger's demons is mm-hmm. he doesn't want people, even if it's another employee or whatever, to really know how he's spending his time. And so this is all part of a larger pattern, which is just really sad.
Yeah, it truly is. And, you know, I sure hope somebody gets through to him. His kids probably would be the two who could really get to him if they could get him to sit down and really have a heart-to-heart. But it's hard when you're so wired the way he is. Well, Alan Shipnuck, author, writer, formerly with Sports Illustrated and Golf.com, you're out on your own, right? This is your world.
The world is my oyster. Is
yes.
that what you mean?
Yes.
I'm writing for Scratch Golf now, which is a great platform. You know, it's part of the same corporate family, Pro Shop Inc. They produced the Netflix documentary Full Swing. They produced Happy Gilmore 2.
Right on.
A lot of talented people, a lot of great energy. So I'm happy to be writing for them. But you know, books have primarily been my focus recently. This is my third one in the last 4 years. It's hard to write them much faster than that.
I bet. I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed because 2004, The Battle for Augusta National was your one of five books. I don't know if it was your first, but 2008, Bud, Sweat, and Tease. I love that title. 2010, Swinging from My Heels, Christina Kim. Love it. You did a novel in 2011, just a year after the Swinging from My Heels, The Swinger. It was called. It is called. The 2021 book was She Runs Like a River to the Sea, Heartbreak and Hope in the Wake of United 93. And your latest work, and I find this, I got to ask you, Rory McIlroy, The Heartache and Triumph of Golf's Most Human Superstar. When you write Most Human Superstar, could you kind of explain how you came to those three words?
Yeah, I mean, Rory's part of what makes him compelling is he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he lets, you know, fans and reporters into his heart. And he, you know, Tiger, every press conference was a word salad. He never said anything. Rory will give you a guided tour of his inner self, and he's very open. He's very unguarded. And so I think that's part of why the Masters victory was so emotional, is people have been on this journey with him for so long, and they feel connected to him because there is a humanity there that is probably lacking in a lot of big time athletes and big time golfers. So you know, that you think of the last 30 years, that the two big superstars were Tiger and Phil, and Tiger was an introvert and he was awkward and he didn't like the limelight, and he was this corporate mercenary who didn't want to say anything about anything. And Phil was more outgoing, but it felt fake, and he always had an agenda, and you never could really take at face value anything Phil said or did, because he was always scheming. He always was working an edge, and so Rory is just a breath of fresh air because he's real and he's human. And I think that's why people love him.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. When he gets angry, he's not afraid to say it.
And you know, he's very, very strongly voices opinions. And that's, you know, a critique of so many superstar athletes is they don't say anything. They're boring. I mean, Rory is not that. I mean, he always has something to say, and occasionally he'll regret it and he'll walk it back, and people will, you know, claim he's like a flip flopper. But you know, I kind of like that he'll take in some new information and he'll think about it, and then maybe he'll change his mind and have a more nuanced position. Like, to me, that's admirable, but it's pretty rare in modern life.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, that's the part that I love about him. You know, he's open. He's an open book. And he's not afraid to show himself. And as you said, then he, you know, the next time it might be, hey, you know, I maybe I went too far on that one, you know, and that's human. Yeah, and it, under the gun that he's under, you know, on the scrutiny that they all get and the playing and the intensity that they are just living, it's not unusual in my mind for someone to have an outburst, and he doesn't mind having one. I can see the person. Now, let's go to your book again. Rory McIlroy, The Heartache and the Triumph of Golf's Most Human Superstar. You have an audio version of your book.
This will be the third book in a row where I've done the audio. The first one was the Phil Mickelson biography, and then I had Live and Let Die, which was kind of the inside story, the battle between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. And now this one, it's a fun process, and it's a good challenge. I mean, it takes about 5 days to record the book, and you've got a producer in your ear who, you know, anytime you might slightly stumble, anytime you don't enunciate perfectly, if I'm going too fast or I'm getting too excited or whatever, you know, they make you stop and start again. And so it can be a little challenging and even tedious, but I'm protective of my work. And, it started really with the Phil book. They'd already hired Simon Schuster had a Broadway actor to read the book, and I looked this guy up, and not to traffic in stereotypes, I don't think he was a golfer. And was he really going to be able to say Jose Maria Olazabal with the appropriate passion?
Yes.
I know when the jokes are coming, and I can set them up, and I know when something dramatic is about to happen, and I can set that up, and I know how to say all the names, and I'm just invested in the material in a way that nobody could be since I wrote it.
So exactly.
I like doing the audiobooks, and they get more and more popular. I mean, the percentages of sales of audio goes up all the time because people with commute, people at the gym, you know, I think they're just consuming books in that way, and that's great. You just want to reach people however they want to be reached.
It's beautiful. Alan Shipnuck is the author, writer, and reader. Yes. Oh, you got to get it because I just know it's great. I haven't been able to read it yet. Rory McIlroy, The Heartache and Triumph of Golf's Most Human Superstar. You'll have to be on again sooner than the way, it's been years, it seems like. Thank you.
Anytime. I'm always happy to do it. Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Alan Shipnuck. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Let's
go. I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign.
keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
He is Cosmic Golf. Yes. Uh-huh. And you can find it Maui Nui Driving Range on Oahu. It's at Eva Beach, Coral Creek Driving Range. He's a volunteer director for Golf Heritage Society, president of Friends of Cherokee 1895, saving a historic 127-year-old golf course. Yeah, 127-year-old golf course. But his primary role is with Cosmic Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, James Kaiser.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Danielle. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to come on your show.
And tell me, how did Cosmic Golf come about?
It came through the Smart Target guy. You've had Rob Peterson on your show before, and we have interactive targets. So they light up and flash when you hit them with a golf ball. We actually have what you just mentioned, Cosmic Drive. It's cosmicdrivehi.com. And they're out in Hawaii, so they do mobile stuff at the Maui Nui Driving Range and Coral Creek Driving Range. So we have those targets out there, but it sort of developed out of that, and then we tested this thing at Cosmic Golf that was formerly called a different Pine Valley, and the people loved it. This was way back in 2000. I think it was 2008, and then we built a bunch of these places that were making these driving range is a lot of money, and so I pitched it to the new owners, and they loved it, and we finally got it open on 2025. So it's the Taj Mahal of golf, and we have 36 outdoor hitting bays, 6 indoor simulators, seating for 850 people with 4 bars and live entertainment.
Wow.
And we have a really cool putting course. We call it the GOAT, for the greatest putting course of all time.
Of course. Where is that?
It's in the lower level. So when we were looking at the plans, they were going to put carts down there, and I'm like, well, that's going to be the most expensive garage in the world. And I said, why don't we put a putting course down there? And it's made by Putt Tech. So we did a putting course. It's inspired by Augusta National. So we have all 18 holes. I would encourage everybody to check it out. It's at Cosmic .golf is our website, www.cosmic.golf, and check out the pictures. But we have a theme-inspired wallpaper and all 18 holes, not geographically the same, but in miniature style. But it lines up really well, and the players that we've had two big-time professional events through the USPMGA and then National Putting Tour, that these professionals came in and they go, oh my gosh, this is the greatest putting course we've ever seen in our life. And
wow.
I actually interviewed 15 of them, and they said on video, they told the same thing. So it's pretty cool. We didn't expect to come out with something this spectacular, but now we're calling it the GOAT, G-O-A-T, the greatest putting course of all time.
But physically, where is it? Where would I have to travel to get there?
You would have to go to Louisville, Kentucky. You'd fly into Louisville, Kentucky, take about a 45-minute journey south to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. And so we're right at the head of the Bourbon Trail. So all you bourbon lovers out there, we're 20 minutes away from Jim Beam. We're 30 minutes away from Maker's Mark. Gallo just bought a new, the eighth oldest distillery in the state called Four Roses. We're 20 minutes away from their bottling and warehouse museum experience. So it's a really fabulous location off 65 that you can come to and be close to Louisville, be close to a major airport, and enjoy the quiet little life. We call it Mayberry RFD in Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Wow. That sounds like fun. Now, if we can't go there, if we can't travel there, but we want to show our putting abilities. We want to really show off and maybe win the USPMGA, which stands for, let me see, the U.S. Pro Mini Golf Association. Is that correct? Did I get that?
That's correct. And they've been around a long time. I guess they've been around about 30 years because they do major tournaments. So they host a tournament called the Masters. They have the 30th coming up this year, and they're hosting their 27th U.S. Open We just did the very first, we call it the Open, that we just did with them 2 weeks ago. But they're doing their 27th U.S. Open in Hawaii.
Drum roll!
Yes. So how exciting is that?
That is so cool. I mean, seriously, May 15 through the 16 of this year at Anaina Ho Community Park, Kilauea, Kauai. Registration is required prior to the event, of course. The deadline to register is April 30th of this year because it's, you know, right now. And this is the website, anainaho.org/US Open. And in case you're wondering how to spell that, it's anainaho.org/US Open. Where could I find that information if that just went right through my brain?
The easiest way to remember that is just U.S. Pro Mini Golf Association. Just Google it, and that'll you'll see the promigolf.com website, and just find the, if you can remember, U.S. Pro Mini Golf Association or USPMGA, which is a mouthful. And I'm glad you said all those Hawaiian words because that was a mouthful. But it should be pretty easy to find. But these are professional putters. These guys are good. These guys are better. I mean, like, they've competed against, you know, the Brad Faxtons of the world and the Ricky Fowlers of the world head up and beat them.
Wow.
I mean, now to be fair, they say these guys show up thinking they can beat the world and they can just show up an hour or two early and do a little practicing. No, they're going to have to show up a little bit earlier than that. But they said if they put in a 2 days of solid practice on the course, they'd obviously probably win. But these guys are really, really good putters. Like the event we just had was 6 rounds, 18 holes a round. Takes about an hour to get through the course. And I didn't want to come in last like I did because I'm not a professional putter, but I had to do it because I was the host. And I only got beat by 44 shots. And I didn't come in last. I came in tied with 3 other people next to last. So.
Not quite, but almost.
Not quite. I achieved my goal. I didn't want to come in last because last time I got beat in 3 rounds by 23 shots. So what can you do?
Where do these guys, you know, why are they so good?
They're like, you've ever watched pool sharks, you know,
and
what they do with it. They put English on the ball and they cut the ball and make it do all kinds of stuff. These guys do the same thing with golf balls, and they get on something that's a professional surface. Like, our course is so good, they say, because it just doesn't have any defects. It's perfect. It rolls perfect. Like, there's this one hole, number 14, that doesn't have any bunkers, and it's like a buried dinosaur in the middle of I call it a buried dinosaur or a turtle shell. But if you don't go over that right at the right angle and go right over the top, it's going to go right or it's going to go left. But every hole has all these different angles, and it's geometry and physics. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau would love our course. But if you get good at that and you get good at reading the putts and you get your speed down and your strokes pure, you can do some damage. I mean, I have a little girl that's 14 years old that we're doing some work with that came out, and she was just making hole-in-ones all over the place. And I'm like, this girl's a natural. And she is. She played in a high school event that we had there, and she lost to a boy by one shot, and she's only 14 years old and just making holes in one all over the place. But some people got it and some people don't. Obviously I don't, but I'm better than most. But I still, compared to these guys are really good.
Yeah, well, it's their job.
Well, no, it's a hobby. I mean, these guys all have full-time jobs, but they don't do it, you know. They're not making tremendous amount of money. I mean, there was a guy last week that made $10,000 at Putting Zone in Nashville, Tennessee, which is a fabulous place that you might want to look up. But they're putting to different zones and putting in the hole on, you know, it's a regulation. They got par 5, par 4, par 3, and you got to putt to a zone, and you can't cut the dog legs. And, you know, our course is traditional. It doesn't have windmills or it doesn't have bricks on the side. I mean, our course looks like it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it's if you putt on our course, you're going to be a better putter on the golf course. So that was one thing I wanted to do, was to have it where it was no backdoor putts, where it rolls up a hill and rolls back down. You got to make them, you know, face in But you're going to be a better putter if you putt on our course. So it's a fine line challenge for the professionals of whether they, you know, are challenged enough. And then you have kids that play on it too that like it enough and love it enough that they're going to come back over and over. And I think we found that balance, and it's made by Putt Tech, PUTTTEK, and they're out of Arizona. The owner is Cameron Howell. So if you ever want to get one in your backyard, or you want to get one in your business, or as a business or in your business, because they have a lot of businesses that just have them just for employee stress relief, you can contact putttech.com, and they can hook you up with something like what we have.
Fantastic. So this year, the USPMGA, and that is the U.S. Pro Mini Golf Association, is holding their 27th annual U.S. Open on Kauai. It's May 15th through the 16th at Anaina Ho Community Park, Kilauea, Kauai. You register online at Anaina Ho, ANAINAHOU.org/US Open, or as James Kaiser pointed out, just go to, what was the website you suggest?
It's a prominigolf.com, prominigolf.com, which is probably easier. So it's just www.prominigolf.com, and follow the links and register there. But I'm sure they would love as many people from Hawaii to come out there and play in this thing as they could.
Absolutely.
You'd be amazed at how good these guys and gals really are. I mean, there's a woman that out of Texas that's beating the men all day long. She's been doing it since she was 5 years old. So she's wonderful.
Fantastic. James Kaiser, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us. And we're looking forward to talking to you again before the tournament happens, so we can maybe get somebody who's organizing the tournament on with you. That would be fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle. You take care.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back. John Boedeker, PGA Tour cameraman. You talk about scary stuff. I mean, I've got a photograph from his book, My Office Window, by John G. Boedeker. And this is a while ago. He's retired now, but he is standing on the platform way up above everybody. He's got his hands relaxed on the camera. You know, he looks really comfortable. I'm wondering who, you know, where's the guy that's taking the picture? Doesn't look like that big of a platform. We'll be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Eva side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome into the clubhouse, Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame. Hey, Ron, welcome.
Hey, Danielle, thanks for having me on. As always, it's a pleasure.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. You've been traveling. Did you go to the West Coast?
I was out west, yeah, traveling's a little bit of a challenge right now.
Yeah, I was thinking about you when I saw those lines of people saying 4 hours you stand in line to get to your... Did you go through that?
Yeah, the line, I got there, and the line was out of the San Diego airport and out onto the sidewalk in front.
But whoa.
It moved along pretty good. But, you know, you got to think with a lot of big events coming up, the Masters Golf Tournament, World Cup Soccer, they got to get this straightened out sometime soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, I've seen the lines. I haven't had to stand in one. And a friend of mine came back from Tokyo, and she landed and said, "This is crazy. I'm tired." Yeah. Oh, boy. What is fantastic is watching the LPGA. Nelly Korda, 16 under for a 65, leading at the end of the round, of course, yesterday. And Hoojoo Kim had a rough one, but she stayed at 14 under. Lydia Ko shot 71, 13 under for the tournament, is where she stands, at least at last time I checked. And what is your impression? LPGA is hot right now.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of getting what it needs very desperately right now, which is it needs stars to emerge. And, you know, Gino Titicul looks like she's going to be somebody who's going to back up her player of the year thing with another good year this year. But they really need, oh, boy, if they could get a Nelly Korda Lydia Ko rivalry going out there, that would be terrific. You know, I mean, Lydia shot 60 on the first round. And so you're seeing both of those players, Nelly and Lydia, both playing really well. And, you know, you look a little bit farther down that leaderboard, and Rose Zhang's at 9 under. You know, she's somebody who we sort of thought was going to come out with some star power for the tour. Astrid Tally, the 17-year-old amateur, is at 10 under par. And how's this name from way, way out of the past? Yanni Sen,
wow,
who's hasn't won a tournament in about 15 years, is 7 under par. You know, those are all the kinds of names the LPGA needs to have on their leaderboards right now to get people's attention in an increasingly competitive sports landscape for media attention.
Yeah. And I was looking at yesterday's leaderboard, Jenny Bay, Minami Katsu, Lydia Ko, 13 under, all tied for third place. You know, it looks exciting. I've been watching, and there's something different about the way the cameras are working. I feel like they're making some adjustments, and it doesn't feel so staid. I don't know how to describe it, but it just seems much more engaging is the best word I can come up with. And let's go back to amateur Astrix Tally, 10 under through 36 holes. What is this? Her career best when playing on the LPGA Tour, lowest mark by an amateur since 2021. She's hot.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like she's one of these ones. She's 17 years old. I feel like I've been covering her for about 5 years already. You know, I mean, she's been at the U.S. Open. She's been at the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And she is somebody who seems very comfortable in the spotlight. You know, she not only has game, I think that she's got that the mindset to be able to deal with all the attention that that's going to come with fame and stardom if she continues to perform this way. She is a commit to go to Stanford University, and we'll see how long she plays there. And you know, and women's college golf has gotten so much better that it is a place where you could go to school for the full 4 years and really develop your game. That wasn't the case 20 years ago. It wasn't as competitive and as good. I don't know if she'll do the full ride at Stanford, but she is somebody who is learning the game the right way. She's taking it one step at a time, and she's not feeling that pressure to turn pro at 17. She's feeling that she wants to get better at what she's doing and learn how to compete better.
Wow. You know, and we have been watching Asterix Tally for a long time. I mean, just in 24, she won the U.S. Women's Amateur Four Ball. She was runner-up at the U.S. Girls Junior and the U.S. Women's Amateur, becoming the first to compete in three U.S. Championship final matches in the same year. How do these young ladies do it while going to school at the same time?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of it's discipline, you know, a lot of it's working out flexible school schedules, which a lot of them are able to do. But I just think that everybody is getting better instruction at an earlier age than ever before.
Yes.
You know, and they are really getting first-class teaching from golf professionals out there that are helping them develop their game. And there's more competition out there too. You know, the USGA has now started this U.S. Juniors national team based in Pinehurst. And they're getting more competition that way. So they are getting better instruction, and they are getting better competition at an earlier age, so that they do prepare to move up to that next level and to be ready. You know, one of the things that I think we sometimes underappreciate about Tiger Woods is that he won at every level before he turned pro. He won the U.S. Junior three straight times. He won the U.S. Amateur three straight times. He won the NCAA College Individual Championship. He never got ahead of himself. He learned how to win. By the time he turned pro, he had a mindset of domination. And we're seeing that now from some of these young women.
Yes.
They're coming. By the time they turn pro, they believe in their heart of hearts that they can compete with anybody.
Yeah, and they can. And just back to Asterix Tally, because she's like nonstop lady, and it's 100 degrees where they're playing, right? I'm like, imagine hot, you know, 100 degrees, and you're playing golf. She is also playing in the Augusta National Women's Amateur at Augusta National in a week. I mean, she's got a schedule. Her parents must, I don't know how they do it.
Well, I have one tip for her. Get to the airport early.
There you go. Oh, I was...
But you know, but she is going to be, and you're right, it is, I was in California, and it's brutally hot in the West right now. When I was in Los Angeles, it was 97, 98 degrees, and in the desert, it was like 110 degrees. So where Asterix is competing in Phoenix this week, it's that kind of heat out there, and that is... You know, this is one of the things that the college players it's have to get used to on that next step up is competing 4 days in a row. You know, that's a lot of college tournaments are 1 or 2 day tournaments. And to get out there and to be able to have both the physical and the mental strength to be on your game for four consecutive days is a big change from college golf.
Wow. You know, sometimes I don't think we understand. When do you do your homework?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you know, a lot can be done online now too, and a lot of these kids do their schoolwork remotely, and you know that the joys of the internet, I guess, is that they can be remote students and still you know, Rose Zhang continued to compete and carry a full class load at Stanford University, and Michelle Wee did that, and you know, and Stanford is it's a hard school to get through, but they figure out how to do it, and technology is part of what makes it all possible.
Excellent. You wrote, and you know, one of the things you mentioned that kids are getting into the game, learning the game younger, and I think First Tee needs to be given a lot of credit for really opening those doors, and kids just love it, and parents, I think, have to love it too, because First Tee teaches children how to behave in addition to how to play golf, you know? And I just really, really like where this is all going. And whether they stay in golf or they don't stay in golf, it doesn't matter. They come out as really enlightened young adults, and it's wonderful. You wrote back.
First Tee was able to get into a lot of public school physical education programs by doing exactly what you said, by going to the schools and saying, "Hey, we teach more than golf. We teach the values that the game brings with it: honesty, self accountability, respect. You know, and these are all values that you should want your kids to have." And they've gotten a lot of school administrators to agree to that and to include the First Tee programs in their physical education programs at their schools.
Smart. Very smart. You wrote, "Is golf our savior or a new battleground?" in October of 2025. And I thought, that's an interesting thought.
I think I wrote that right after the Ryder Cup, in which, you know, we saw a lot of bad behavior out there. And look, the game is was in a recession on a recreational level for 20 years until COVID came along, and all of a sudden everybody discovered what a great game golf is, you know. And for COVID, it was a game that you could play and socially distance at the same time.
Yeah.
That boom has continued. And because of other things like Top Golf, these new computer-simulated golf leagues that are out there, the game's reaching a younger audience, and that's good. It needed to reach a younger audience. But there's also challenges that come with that too, which is, you know, rowdy behavior and drifting away from some of those values of the games that we just discussed. Respect for your opponent, not trying to curse them out as they did the Rory McIlroy in the Ryder Cup. And that sort of behavior is going to be interesting to see how it plays out down the road. Can the game continue to grow itself and at the same time not lose sight of those really traditional values of the game?
Right on. There was a time when I thought golf could teach essential lessons that would help us understand how far we've strayed from being a civil society. And then the Ryder Cup happened at Bethpage, and it occurred to me that instead of golf helping rein in bullying behavior, that behavior was nudging its way into the sport that treasures civility, a game that I love. At the heart of the culture that surrounds golf is respect for your opponent and a rock-solid allegiance to the rules. The ethics of the game, in fact, written into the rules of golf, and breaches of those standards are viewed harshly. So I read that and went, you know, it's really something. We're walking a good, but I think we're on the right path still, as long as we keep in mind what you said, that, you know, your opponent is not the demon.
Yeah, your opponent is somebody to be respected, not somebody to be hated, you know. Just because you're competing against them doesn't mean they're a bad person, you know. And that whole thing of you know, to me, it's one of the really special things about the game of golf is the respect for the golf course and the respect for the other player. One of my favorite golf photos ever was Matsuyama's caddy bowing to the Augusta National after he won the Masters, you know, as a sign of respect for the golf course. And that whole thing of respecting people that you disagree with, you know, is something that's just like tragically lost right now.
Wow. It tragically lost. And I think we'll get it back. We just have to keep, you know, First Tee in mind. Danielle always goes back to First Tee because I just love the way they teach kids. And are you writing a book I mean, I know you do, but I don't know if you are.
I'm not working on anything right now, no. It's I'm sort of taking a little bit of a breather.
Taking a breather, right on. Okay. Well, is there anything that I didn't get to that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that that was it. I think that the in terms of the LPGA, the big storyline that's out there is women's sports is a hot button issue right now, and that brings it. There's a lot of opportunity there. More corporate money is flowing into women's sports right now than ever before. Corporations are finally waking up and realize there's a huge opportunity here. But at the same time, there's competition, increased competition for that corporate dollar from women's basketball, from lacrosse, from soccer, and there's going to be professional leagues in all those sports competing for that money. So the LPGA has got opportunity, but it's also got challenges out there. And one of the things that would help them is some really, really good stars to emerge right now to capture the public's attention. Hopefully Nelly and Lydia and Gino Titicul and maybe down the road Rozang and Astros Tally will be the people who will fit that marketing bill.
Fantastic. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, a Golf Channel contributor. His first job, I love this, I have to repeat it. His first job in golf was filling the pop cooler at Castle Hills Golf Course in Newcastle when he was 12 years old. Author Vision 54 trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including The Game Before the Game, Play Your Best Golf Now, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. Thanks for being inside the clubhouse, Ron Cyrak.
Always a pleasure, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Aloha.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And I want to bring into the clubhouse right now John G. Bodecker. And his book, My Office Window, is a collection of some amazing photographs. If you haven't seen this, I wish you could see what I'm looking at right now. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
Thank you, Danielle. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you this morning?
I'm just amazed. I'm looking at this photograph of you, and you're standing on, what is it called, the platform up in the sky. How high up in the sky are you on this platform?
Well, it could go to 120, 120 feet. Normally, that's the height that I would normally go to, because obviously the higher you go, the better the perspective.
Uh-huh.
There's some variables that come into play. If there's heavy winds, we'll work at a little bit lower height just for safety purposes. But most of the time, I try to get as high as we can, get the best use out of the crane's capabilities.
So he's standing on the platform, 120 feet up in the air, and he's got his arms relaxed across the camera that he works with, right? But there are no walls. There's nothing but, a whole lot of space. And it's amazing the photographs that you are taking. Will you tell me what camera you're using to take the pictures?
The actual still pictures in the book. I was actually using, I can't remember the version, but it was my cell phone. I remember it was a Samsung. I can't remember. It was an earlier version. And it was kind of interesting because I never really intended to do the book. As you can imagine, the networks would always put this particular camera, the crane, and normally there was only one, unless it was a major tournament. They only had one crane, and they would put that crane in the area of the golf course, normally around the signature hole of the golf course, the most spectacular part, which was really good for me because it made my job super easy. And during commercial breaks, I would, just because it was so pretty, I would take some pictures with my phone and I'd post them on Facebook at the time. And over a couple of months, I started getting some responses back, and somebody reached out and said, hey, you know, it'd be great if you could take all those pictures and put it into one file. I hate having to go through your profile and find all these pictures of the golf course. And he says, another thing you might think about is putting a book together. And so I went in and grabbed a few pictures, and I did a prototype, and my wife looked at it, and she thought it was pretty interesting, and it just kind of went from there.
I think it's pretty, interesting, spectacular. I'm looking right now at the Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, and it's just that there's two pictures up against one another, or, you know, one continuation, because there's so much that you're taking in. How did you catch that?
Well, that was a panoramic.
There you go.
That I took with the, believe it or not, that was actually a panoramic picture back when they were stitching very, very poorly, by the way. It took a little bit of extra effort to fix that, because the earlier cell phones really didn't, they didn't stitch real well.
Uh-huh.
We were able to get that panoramic, and that's, I believe it's in the center of the book.
Yeah,
it
is.
Showing the island green there.
Yeah.
From my perspective up high. Yeah.
It's just incredible. Did you ever feel uncomfortable at that level? I mean, way up there?
Oh, you don't know the half of it. When I had my first, when NBC first came to me and asked me if I wanted to work at height, I was looking for a little bit more steady job. I had been doing handheld work on the PGA Tour for NBC for years, and my back was obviously taking its toll, and I was looking for something a little less physical as I got on in my career. And Tommy Roy, the executive producer, and Bucky Gunce, who was directing at the time, reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in doing what they called the Bay Hill Tower. And they named it that. It was NBC usually had either a crane or a really high man-built scaffolding tower. And at Bay Hill, the Bay Hill tournament, they had I think it was 12 sections. The first year I was there, each section was 8 feet. And that was freaky. climbed all the way up, and at the very, very top, in the middle of this maybe 12 by 12 foot platform, mm-hmm. was the camera mounted directly in the center. No rails all the way around. And I climbed up there, and I got to the top of the step just where I could see the deck. And I looked over at the camera, and I went, I don't know about this. And I crawled on my hands and knees over to the camera, hooked into my harness, and then climbed up the side of the tripod and put my head into the viewfinder. And now I was now in my black and white two-dimensional world.
Yes.
And I was okay.
Yes.
As long as I kept my head in that world, I was fine. But I couldn't take my head out.
No.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
I went back down. Same thing, crawled over to the edge, climbed down the tower, did that for 5 days. Wednesday was a rehearsal, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And at the end of Sunday's round, I came down and I got at the bottom and I kissed the ground and I said, I am never doing that again. And the next week, I was doing it again.
Gosh, you know, we take so for granted when we're watching it on television, you know, that all these fabulous shots that you're capturing and we're watching, we don't think about the person, you know, 120 feet up in the air with no wall, nothing. If you lose your step, it's not like you can grab something. There's nothing around you to grab. There's just your camera. And in this case, you know, on the front page of my office window, it's a big camera. But I also have to ask you, where is the guy who took your picture? He's higher up than you are on the front of your...
Well, believe it or not, yes. That was a gentleman by the name of Fred Vujic. I believe he still might be... I'm not sure where he is now, but he was a Sports Illustrated photographer. Shot a lot of the golf photos for Sports Illustrated. And I got to know him real well because he'd come out, especially at the major tournaments, he'd come over and he'd ask if he could mount one of his still cameras on the crane. And then he would mount it, and then I would go up, and he had a remote control to actually take the still pictures. So he would kind of basically set up the camera, his still camera, in an area where he thought it would be a good angle. For example, at the Players' Championship, he would mount it, and he'd know kind of where I would be, and he would mount his camera underneath the platform, basically in a rough area of showing the 16th green and the island green down there. And then he would be down below, and when something would happen, he would just remotely fire the camera to get his stills. And over the years, I got to know him real well, and it must have been a really quiet Sports Illustrated week because he approached me at the Players one year, and he said, Sports Illustrated would like to do a story on you and your crazy world up there. And I thought, wow, it must have really been a slow week. And yeah. So he says, I said, well, you know, let's go up. I'll show you what it's like. And he hopped in with me, and we went all the way up to 120 feet. And he looks at me, and he goes, well, I'd love to get a shot of you up here. Is that possible? And I looked at him, and I said, well, you know, it's a cage. And there is a cage, a small cage. It's probably about waist high, and it turns in the crane, so I could actually walk around inside this cage, and I'd be secured.
Okay.
And I'm wearing a four-point harness as well. And I looked at him, and I said, well, I really can't get far enough away from you for you to get a picture of me. I said, no worries. I said, I'll just step outside the cage here, and I'll stand on the front with the camera. And he goes, yeah, that's great. I'll just hold the camera up and kind of show the green behind you and the tea and all that beautiful color mm-hmm. of the island green, and we'll see what we get. And I did that. I climbed out, and he took the picture. And I remember he looked at the camera, and he goes, oh, my God, I've got to get a picture of me in this. So we ended up turning the cage around. He stayed in the cage, and he handed me the camera, and I did the same thing for him. So he's got a picture, I assume, probably hanging in his office somewhere of
yes.
him up above the 17th green.
Absolutely.
It was a fun experience.
Yeah, this is just amazing. Now, when I was looking up, you know, I thank you for sending me your book. It's beautiful. I love the photographs. I'm just enthralled by, you know, I would be frightened. I would not be able to look down. I'd be in a whole different space. But there's only one left that can be purchased. Do you think another run would be appropriate?
Oh, I don't believe so. Okay. I think that well, I'm retired now, first of all, so I'm no longer working in the tournaments. In fact, I left the tour about 5 years ago. Just after COVID, it was just so hard for me to get back into the groove.
Yeah.
And I really didn't want to push my luck in my career. I for me, I wanted to go out while they still wanted me around.
I like it.
So I left the tour and I came back here to San Diego, and I started doing some local Padre games here. And I did that for a couple more years before I decided, you know what, it's time to really enjoy my summers. And so my wife and I are doing a lot more traveling now and visiting the kids. And it's a part of my life that I kind of had to put on hold for so many years. And now I'm able to kind of see the families and spend more time with the kids and my family. And it's become a little bit more important. But yeah.
Thanks very much, John Bodecker, for being inside the clubhouse with us and talking about, you know, we take for granted all these photographs. There are, you know, other guys with different names who are probably doing the same thing you did.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, oh, way yeah, up there.
Many, you know, the crews are gigantic. There's I think, maybe two or three that are now doing the crane. Pretty much, I think NBC, CBS may be using some cranes. NBC still uses some cranes. Very rare on the Golf Channel. And then you get over to Europe, and it's a whole different ball game in Europe. Those cranes are just ridiculous. 120 feet is low.
Wow.
For some of the coverage at the Open.
KORLYNI, Honolulu. I'm getting the, you know, do the legal ID, Danielle.
Absolutely. Got to get those in.
Sorry about that. I can only imagine, you know, those Europeans at the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. There's a, you know, it's funny because you get to a particular height and you figure, okay, well, it doesn't make any difference. If you fall from this height, you're going to die. So if you go twice as high, it's still crazy. I mean, there's a point where I wouldn't do the ones in Europe. I don't know those cranes. They asked me many times to go over and work the opens and stuff. And it just never really interested me to go that high.
That high.
Yeah. I don't know why. It just didn't interest me. And kind of get back to, you know, you were asking me about being a little bit concerned about heights when I first started. For those of you out there that maybe are afraid of heights, there is a way to get over it. You can get over it, and it's just repetition. And I eventually got to the point where I felt so comfortable up there, maybe even sometimes too comfortable. You can get complacent, and that's a scary part. I mean, there was times when I would go up, and I'd be up there for an hour, hour and a half, and then I'd realize, man, I didn't even hook up to my harness.
Yeah,
you can get too comfortable. And that's one thing that I really try to emphasize with the young guys that came up behind me. As comfortable as you feel up there, you've got to go through that checklist. It's almost like an airline pilot. You've got to just check everything before you start your day and make sure. You could have something on the deck that's not tied down, and that's a huge problem. You kick something off, and you've got spectators down underneath you. Somebody could get seriously hurt. So it's a real important, there's a lot of safety involved in that.
My Office Window is his book, John Bodecker, and it's the first time I've ever had a chance to talk with someone, a cameraman on the platform, 120 feet in the air. These guys are amazing. You're amazing. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse.
Oh, my pleasure, Danielle. My pleasure.
Aloha. We're going to come back with, Michael Patrick Shields pretty soon, and a little something from Phil Kenyon on putting after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Oh, you know, if you're going to go play a round of golf, it's always nice to know what the weather's going to be like. Isolated showers before noon. It looks so sunny here, but I'm just looking out toward the ocean. Before noon. So then mostly sunny afterwards with a high near 76. Boy, it was 68 this morning. Felt freasing. I think it's that north-northeasterly wind, 17 to 25 miles per hour. Windy with gusts as high as 32 miles per hour. If you've got that ball coming, the wind behind your back might have a, yeah, chance of precipitation is 20%. So a little rain may be coming down. Tonight, partly cloudy, low about 68, breezy with northeasterly still, 17 to 20, gusts as high as 28, not quite as much as during the day. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 77, getting hot. Breezy, though, still those northeasterly 17 to 20, gusts to 28. So out of the northeast, that's going to feel like a cool wind. And Sunday night, isolated showers after midnight, partly cloudy with low about 69, breezy, and those north-northeasterly winds sticking with us, 15 to 17 miles per hour, gusts up to 24. So we're not out of the windy situation yet. And the chance of precipitation is 20%. I don't have anything for Sunday daytime, just for nighttime. And then Monday, isolated showers before noon, mostly sunny. Does this sound Have you heard this before? Yeah, it's just about the same as it was for Saturday. With northeasterly winds 15 to 17, but gusts as high as 24, and a chance of precipitation 20%. And here's some of the tee times that we have for you still. At Makalei, there's a 10:10 and an 11 o'clock, and the slicers are on the golf course. Poipu, there's a 10:10 and an 11 o'clock. Lost Boys are out on the golf course. And there's also a 12:20 if you'd like to go looking for them. And the Kauai Lagoons guys, the doctors on call, they're going to be on the golf course and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. There's a 9 o'clock and a 10:30 if you'd like to take advantage of that. Pearl at Kalaau'au, there's an 8:36 and 11:18. Hawaii Kai has an 8:30 and a 9:30. The Beachcombers, they're on the golf course. I don't know why, but they are. You got to get off the beach once in a while, right? Turtle Bay, 8:40, 9:08, 10:20, and that's where the Beachcombers are. Rahawine Golf Course has an 8:42 and a 9:20 and a 10:36, and the duck hooks are out there. So watch out for that hook. And then we've got Hawakalei Golf Course, 9:10, 10:26, 11:48. And we have, let's see, Ava Beach Golf Course has an 8:36. They had, it may be gone, a 9:40, 11:06. And Bayview has a 9:20 and a 10:18, and the Shrimpers are on the golf course? The Shrimpers are on the golf course. Yo, guys. I don't think you'll find a lot of them. Wailea Gold Course, 8:40. Emerald, 8:30 and an 8:50. A 9:20 on the blue course. And Maui Nui has a 9:48 and an 11:10. I think I've done this already, but we're going to do it again, because why not? K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu. And I think my next guest is right about now, and he's been on the road again. Maybe he's not on the road as much, but, you know, he may be going to the Masters, or maybe he hasn't. He's not going this year, but he's been there. All right. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider, home-based Beverly Hills, radio talk show host. He's an author, travel writer, host Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, award-winning syndicated talk show, a rare bipartisan talk show, and he's heard on 12 Michigan radio stations. He writes for USA Today, Cigar Aficionado, Golf Magazine, and dozens of other media sites. He's also known for some pretty excellent books. Books on Larry King, Arthur Hills, Ben Wright, Donald Trump. And he gets regular gigs in Hollywood. Michael Patrick Shields, welcome into the clubhouse.
One of my favorite trips ever. I wasn't a travel writer. I was a radio producer, but it didn't matter. Anyone could take this trip, and you're never going to believe it. But it would have been around 19—it was not that long ago, put it that way. And from Detroit, you could get on a charter airplane on Wednesday morning of the Masters, fly directly to Augusta Airport. You could go to the practice round, spend the whole day, you know, watching practice round, the par three tournament, shopping, and then they flew you right back to Detroit. They had transferred you from the airport and everything.
Wow.
And the grand total per person for that trip was $200.
No.
Yeah. Wow. We didn't know how good we had it, because $200 doesn't get you anywhere near there now, unless you're lucky enough, of course, to win the Masters lottery. But yeah, what a dream that was back in the day. I'm going to guess that was around 1990, probably.
Wow. That is $200, and you were taken all the way to the golf course?
Yep. You didn't have to just show up, and they took care of everything. $200 per person. Of course, the plane was full, and they had two planes full of people.
Wow.
To do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I wish we could do that now, but those days are over.
So, Mr. On the Road, traveling to all the exotic destinations that you get to, enjoying the cuisine of the moment, I need to ask you, where did you find some of the best cuisine?
Well, yeah, funny you should say that, but I was looking at the menu that Rory McIlroy has for the Champions Dinner.
Yeah.
And he brought up a couple of Irish dishes, which I'll tell you about in a second, but usually, you know, sometimes it's reported what the food is, but they don't often talk about the wine. And it occurred to me that, never mind the food, if you're in that Champions Dinner, you're getting some of the premier wine. And the one that sticks out is the 1990 Chateau Lafite Rothschild Bordeaux. Oh. That's just one of the courses that you'll get if you're a champion like that. But he's got elk sliders for one of the appetizers. That's kind of fun.
What is it?
And then
what is
elk slider? It's like a little hamburger.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, you're pretty chic if you don't know what a slider is. Boy, oh boy.
It was the
and remember,
first...
he's from Northern Ireland, so he's for the mains, you can choose seared salmon or Wagyu filet.
Uh-huh.
And but with it comes traditional Irish champ. You can ask me what champ is if you want.
I do want to know. What is champ?
You know, champ is very popular in Northern Ireland. It's basically potatoes and scallions with milk and butter. It's a comfort food.
Oh, it sounds delicious. Oh.
As an American, you should know what a slider is. I'm just saying.
It wasn't slider that I wanted to know more about. It was the elks. What's an
elk? It's an elk. You've seen an elk?
I know an elk. They're big. They got horns.
That's right.
But what is elk slider?
It's a little hamburger with elk instead of burger beef.
They really killed the elk and put it in a burger? Oh.
Well, yes. You wouldn't want it alive, I don't think.
No, I wouldn't want it. Yeah, never mind. I'm a vegetarian.
What's that stuff that comes in a can that you eat in Hawaii?
What's the stuff?
That little stuff that comes in a can, you know.
Sure, of course.
What is that called? I'm blanking out on it. Spam. You could have spam sliders, maybe. That would be good.
Spam sliders. We're all in it.
Yeah. But, okay, so then you get to the dessert he's
yes.
having. And it's, again, very Irish and English. Sticky toffee pudding will be in Rory's dessert. So that's an Irish. You don't see that in the States too much. It's you get it in Ireland and England. So in terms of a good dinner none of us will ever be able to get into,
yes,
that's it.
Yes, but I still want to know more about that sticky tacky. What is that?
Sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah. Do you know how they make it? Oh, dear.
It's
I'm asking
kind of
too many
like,
questions.
If you melted down a cinnamon roll and you mixed it with raisins and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not really a pudding. It's more like a very soft cake.
Oh, but that sounds delicious. Can we have one now?
I don't know how anyone would be able to play golf after eating those things and drinking wines and all that, but...
I agree.
But in terms of cuisine, I do have a public service for anyone who might be going to the Masters, and this is very important, and it involves cuisine, so I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
And that is that the Augusta Hooters has closed. And not only has it closed in November, it was demolished to the ground. So those of you, and there were many, who included Hooters in your Masters traditional week.
Yeah.
Not go there anymore.
Wow.
And
do we know
one of the reasons it was popular is it was a big Hooters. They had a big tent next to it to accommodate all of the people and all of the working girls who came in from Atlanta to visit all the gentlemen who were there that week. And also, there was a trailer out front with a little tent in front of it.
Oh, dear.
Where you could get merchandise from John Daly.
Oh.
And, yeah. John Daly himself
would
sell you the merchandise. With a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, he would make change when you bought his T-shirts or hats or whatever it might be. So you won't get that spectacle this year, except to tell you that I read John Daly's merchandise operation has moved to the Top Dog Tavern in Augusta.
Uh-huh.
And dog is spelled D-A-W-G.
Of course.
So Top Dog Tavern replaces Hooters in Augusta for Masters Week.
Any particular reason why they wanted to demolish the Hooters?
The brand has been closing down across the country.
Oh,
so
okay. I don't think we have one here, so we don't really think about them that much. You know, here like in Hawaii.
That's too bad.
Okay. All right, we're at Augusta.
I always wondered why there wasn't a version for women that was called Peckers instead of Hooters.
That's something that we'll have to think about when we're not on the air.
I'm just trying to make a living here, that's all.
And you're doing a fabulous job. But you know what? Wait a second. Let's go back to Augusta. Okay, that is the most amazing place. I've actually been there and, and walking there, it's like it's another world. You're no longer on planet Earth. you're at Augusta National, and it's a place all to its own. But Michael Patrick Shields has been there, and it doesn't get much better than this. Your experience with Jack Nicklaus and Jim Nantz on separate occasions, can you tell us about that green jacket?
Yeah, and don't forget, even the wrappers at the concession tents at Augusta are little green wrappers, and the food is not expensive, and the pimento cheese sandwich is the traditional item there.
Yes.
I was very lucky that I had a green blazer, and I was on interviewing Jim Nantz at the World Golf Hall of Fame. And we were saying, hey, what if you put this, would you put this on me if I pose for a picture? And so Jim Nantz put the green jacket, quote unquote, on me as if I had won the Masters tournament. Now, I'm friendly with him because I was very close with Ben Wright, his colleague, and the late Ben Wright, who called many Masters tournaments. And but that was all, so that was fine and funny and all that. But one time I was interviewing Jack Nicklaus, not that many years ago, during the pandemic, at American Dunes in West Michigan, and I had that green jacket on, and I dared to ask the Golden Bear, would you put this on me as a Masters champion, you know, and recreate it? And we videoed. He said, sure, I'll do that. I couldn't believe it. I thought maybe, you know, there might be some sacrilege about mimicking something like that, you know? But he's the man who won six of them.
Exactly.
And so he said, sure, I'll do it. And he put the jacket on me, and he goes, from one winner to another. And he slapped me on the back, and he said, you know, something nice, friend or pal or something like that. And I gave him a big hug, and it was one of the funniest and sweetest moments in my life.
Sure.
He is the greatest of all time. There's no question.
No question. You are absolutely right. And what an amazing person he is to be around. Arnold Palmer is in that, you know, in there too. I was lucky because I saw them. They were together. And they were just so gregarious and so, and you felt like you belonged to their cub, you know, their den.
Yeah,
that's how they made you feel, like you belonged. And that's a really special feeling to get from people like Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. Hey, Michael Patrick Shields, we've run out of time, but today thank you for the giggles, thank you for the insight. And bye-bye, Hooters. And hello, what?
Top Dog Tavern.
Thank
John
you.
John Daly's merch.
Okay.
E-A-W-G.
And thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with me. I really appreciate you.
Happy Easter.
Happy. Oh, right. It is coming up, isn't it? Oh, my. All right. I do have to thank the people who make the show possible. Welcome, Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round. Wind down after work. Just go and bang some balls at the Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. It's good golf, good food, and good fun. Aloha Power Equipment. Work smarter, faster, easier with Aloha Power. With our selection of riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, and a whole lot more, you can get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday, not on Sunday, Monday through Saturday, Evile next to the Costco gas station, and of course, in Waipahu. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, for health, for friendship, for family. Hey, get out there. Do something for your body. Go golf. And Claude Brousseau, he'll have to be on the show next week. Master PGA teaching professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. And I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. Stay, you know, out of the rain. It's going to be chilly. Northeasterly winds, north-northeast, 70 to 23 miles per hour. Gusts to 32. Hold on to your hat. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.